scripture of the Word of God. He is going to have to hear the scriptures and learn from the scriptures who Christ is, what Christ did. And I have a message for you today on the resurrection of the dead. I have some interesting things to share with you. And I'll be using 1 Corinthians 15, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, evidently, there were some people, some preachers and people in the church at Corinth who were denying the resurrection of the dead. They were denying the resurrection of the dead. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and in this portion of the epistle, chapter 15, from verse 1 all the way through to verse 57, 58, 59, he deals with this subject, the resurrection. So it's quite interesting. I'd like you to take your Bible and open it to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll try to call out the verses as I deal with them, but you'll find them there. But the subject, the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the dead. It's so fundamental to the gospel of Christ that without the resurrection, you have no gospel. And that's how serious this matter is. Without the resurrection, you don't have any gospel. That's what Paul says in verse 16 and 17. Look down there at verse 16 and 17. He said, if the dead rise not, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. You have no hope without God, without Christ, without hope in this world. If the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, you're in your sin. And your faith is vain. So, you see, the resurrection is fundamental to the gospel. And that's where I'm starting, verse 1. Now, let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 15. There is and will be a resurrection of all the dead. No question about it. Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? Well, according to the word of God, he shall. According to the scripture, he shall. Now look at verse 1. And Paul says, brethren, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which you received, and wherein you stand, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. But that's not all. This is the gospel, and that he rose again. He rose again according to the scriptures. And he goes on down there in verse 5, 6, and 7 and says he appeared to Peter, the apostle Peter. Peter talked to him after his resurrection. Then he appeared to the 12, all of the disciples. And then he appeared to over 500 brethren at once. And then Paul says in those next verses, and I saw him as one born out of due time. I saw Christ in the flesh. He appeared to me. So this being the very truth of our gospel, without which we have no gospel, Paul says, how is it that some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? What do you mean by that? Verse 11, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? This is fundamental to our gospel. Our gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to all the types and patterns and pictures in the Old Testament, and that he was buried like the scapegoat of old, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Now, I say some among you there is no resurrection there, especially after all these witnesses, he said, many that are still alive saw the Lord after he rose from the grave. But verse 12 through 19 in that chapter, Paul deals with the consequences of such foolishness. It's foolishness to doubt the resurrection of the dead. And here are the consequences. Now listen carefully. If a person denies the resurrection of the dead, here are the consequences. He said, number one, if there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. Jesus Christ is not. He lied. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They thought he was talking about the literal temple, but the scripture says he was talking about his body. He said again, as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the heart of the earth. Secondly, if Christ is not risen, our preaching is in vain. There's no need to preach. No need to teach your children the Word of God, because your faith is in vain. If there's no resurrection, don't bother with teaching them the Bible, because it's all in vain. Thirdly, if Christ is not risen, then we have misrepresented God. We have falsely preached that there is a resurrection when there's not. And that's serious. It's serious to misrepresent God. And fourthly, if Christ be not risen, if he be not risen, that means his body is still in the tomb, because he did die. And if his body is still in the tomb, then he's an imposter and he's not God, because God certainly can't be dead and can't lie in a tomb. And fifthly, if Christ be not risen, you see these statements there before you in your Bible? If Christ be not risen, your faith is vain and you shall die in your sins. And Christ said, if you die in your sins, you can't come where I am. So there's no heaven. No resurrection, no heaven. And sixthly, if Christ is not risen, all who have died already, everybody who's died believing on Christ, this is your Luthers and Zwinglis and Knox and Whitfields and Spurgeons and Edwards and all these people, they're perished. They are perished. And they have no hope. And then if Christ be not risen, we are of all men, and Paul sort of sums this whole thing up, and he says, we are of all men most miserable. Of all miserable creatures, we're the most miserable, because our confidence and hope is in a failure, and in a myth, and in something that did not happen. But, watch this, the next verse, but now is Christ risen. The truth is that Christ is risen. There's no question about that. He arose from the tomb. And here are two things I want you to see here now that are very important. He has risen. He has risen. And he has risen as our representative. Now, this is so vital and so important. Look at the next three verses, verse 20, 21, 22. Verse 20 says, but now, doing away with all these foolish statement, no resurrection, all this sort of thing. Christ is risen. Verse 20 says, he is risen. And he has become the first fruits. Now that's interesting. The first fruits of them that slept. Now what are the first fruits? Well, over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, the first fruits were the first harvest, whether it be barley, wheat, corn, or whatever. The farmer planted the crop. They planted their fields of barley and their fields of wheat and their fields of corn. And the first fruits that were picked, that's the first fruits, the first sheaves and the first fruits were taken to the temple and offered to the Lord. That's the first fruits. They were his. And what he's saying here is that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those that shall rise from the grave. In other words, the first fruit were taken to the temple and offered to the Lord. There'll be plenty more fruit. There'll be some more corn and some more wheat and some more barley, but the first fruits were taken and offered to the Lord. And Christ has become the first fruits of those who were dead. He has risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. There'll be more rise like he rose. There'll be more resurrected like he was resurrected, but he's the first. Oh, but you may say, preacher, Lazarus was raised from the grave, but Lazarus died again. The widow's son was raised, but he died again. Everybody who was raised died again. See what I'm saying? Christ was the first to rise from the dead to die no more. He is risen from the tomb to die no more. He is risen with a incorruptible mortal body that cannot die. And he's the first one. And he's the first fruits of many, many, many that slept. All right, watch this now. Go on, verse 20 and 21. But now, Christ is risen from the grave, and he has become the first fruits of them that slept. For, now watch this, Since by man came death. What is that talking about? By man came death. Well, by Adam. In Adam we died. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Adam was a representative of the whole human race. You see, God never created but one man. He created Adam. And every human being came from Adam. He has made of one blood all nations. We may be different nationalities and different colors and all that, but we're one race. We came from Adam. Everybody did. God confounded their language. God sent them off in different directions, but Adam was the only man God ever created. And everyone comes from Adam. That's right. It says, for since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. There's another man. The two men talked about here. The first man is Adam. His very name means man. It means red earth, the man that was created from the red earth. And he represented all who were in him, all who came from him. All who came from his loins were represented by him in the fall. By man came death. When Adam was created, we were created. When Adam stood, we stood. When Adam fell, we fell. When Adam sinned, we sinned. When Adam died, we died. The whole human race was in Adam. Well, by man came the resurrection. But there's another man. There's a second Adam. The first Adam is of the earth, earthy. The second Adam is the Lord from heaven. We're going to see that in a minute. So by man came death. By man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. See verse 22? Even so in Christ, all who are in Christ shall be made alive. All who are in Adam died. All who are represented by Adam died. All who came from Adam died. They died spiritually and they died physically. There is no living human being that isn't going to die. We're born sinners. We're born tainted and polluted and corrupted by Adam's sin. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But there's a second Adam. There's a second man, the Lord from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Son came down here in the likeness of sinful flesh, made of a woman, made under the law, but made without a human father. Therefore, he didn't partake of Adam. He wasn't in Adam. He was in the bosom of the Father. He didn't come from Adam. He wasn't in Adam. He wasn't represented by Adam. He wasn't identified with Adam. The first Adam represents all of us. He's the Lord from heaven. And he came down here to represent a people in him, given to him by the Father. And in Adam, we lost spiritual life and died physically. In Christ, life is restored, and we'll live forever. By Adam's sin, we were made sinners. By Christ's obedience, we were made righteous. All who are in Adam die. That's every human being. And all who are in Christ, who's that? Every believer. All who are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then this promise doesn't apply to you. If you're not in Christ by faith, the promise doesn't apply to you. All who are in Christ shall live. As in Adam, all die. In Christ, all live. By Adam's fall, we receive an evil nature and fell under the curse of the law. By Christ's obedience and Christ's death, we were delivered from the curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, and restored us to God's fellowship. And by Christ's resurrection, you see, like Adam, we die physically, and we're buried. That's all Adam can do. But Christ can take us beyond the tomb. By his resurrection, we live. He said, because I live, you live. And his resurrection from the dead as our Savior and representative, now watch this, his resurrection is proof that God accepted what he did on our behalf and what he did for us and what he did as our representative. It's proof. Now listen to this. It's proof that God the Father accepted his offering on our behalf. Acts 17:31. Listen carefully to this next. Very carefully. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness and true holiness. Not professed holiness and put on holiness and veneer, in true righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our assurance that God will face all men in judgment. That's our assurance that all who are in Christ shall be delivered. That's our assurance that all that aren't in Christ and don't have his righteousness shall be condemned. Because when God raised him from the dead, God said, I accept him, I accept his work, and I accept his sacrifice, and I accept all who are represented by him, and all who believe him, and all who are in him, and no one else. I accept him. And he's going to judge the world by that man. Do you see that? Now is Christ risen and become the first fruit of many fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that representative man, that federal head, Adam, in whom we all lived and from whom we all came. Even so, in Christ, all who are in Christ shall be made alive. All right, look at verse 35. But some will say, and this is a mystery, no question about it. What a mystery. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? How are the dead raised? And with what body shall they come? You see that in verse 35? How a dead body raised from the earth that's been buried so long? And it has undergone thousands of changes. It's gone back to the dust. It's corrupted. It's decayed. The worms have devoured it. With what body does it come? Now listen to Paul in verse 36. He uses the example of the farmer. He illustrates. And he starts out this way in verse 36, thou fool, you're foolish. You're foolish to doubt the power of God. You don't ask how God does something. How are the dead raised? Is anything too hard for God? Is God not able to raise the dead who created Adam out of the dust? He created Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his body the breath of life. It became a living soul. What's to prevent him from raising someone that's dead and gone back to the dust? Thou fool, but I'll explain it to you, he said. That which is planted, that which you sow, plant as a farmer, in the garden, does not come up unless it dies. Now, do you understand that? When you go out and plant a garden, you put it in the ground, it stays there several days before it comes up. What's it doing in the ground? It's raining on it, the sun's shining on it. It's germinating. It's rotting in the ground. And it never comes up. You can't keep it on a saucer, and it won't live. It won't bear fruit. It won't grow anything. But you got to put it in the ground. That which you sow does not come up unless it dies. And when you plant it, listen to this, verse 36, and you only plant a seed. You don't plant the full stalk. A farmer doesn't go out in the field and dig a trench and put out a 6-foot stalk of corn with a half a dozen luscious ears on it. That's not what you do. You get a seed, a withered, hard, old seed of corn. Doesn't look like much. It's just a little old single seed of corn. And that withers. And you take that little grain of corn out and you dig a hole and put it in the ground. Now that's what you do. Put it in the ground. And what comes up? Why, a great big tall stalk of corn full of moisture. That little seed didn't have any moisture in it. But the stalk has moisture and has 3, 4, 5 ears of corn and hundreds of grains of corn on each ear. And the silk and the tassel. And well, you stand back and look and say, hey, I didn't plant that. No, you planted a seed. And this is what he says here. He says you only plant a seed and the full stalk comes from the seed. Even so, when men die and the body's buried, a little wrinkled, old, hard, moistureless body is buried dead and goes back to the dust. But God will raise it up someday like he makes that seed of corn to grow and to yield a brand new beautiful stalk. You don't plant what you resurrect. You don't plant what you grow. You plant the bare seed. And what comes from it is a miracle of God. It's a miracle of transformation. So go on, read verse 37. He said, we will be buried in corruption, in sickness and old age and decay, but we'll be raised in incorruption. We'll be buried in dishonor and shame and sinful bodies, but we'll be raised in perfect holiness and honor. Compare that seed to what you go out in the field there and see in about 6 weeks or 75 days. Why, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. We're buried in weakness and frailty and flesh, and we'll be raised in strength and power. We're buried a natural body, we'll be raised a spiritual body. You see what he's saying? Compare a grain of corn which you plant to the fruitful stalk that comes up, and you have a picture of the resurrection, only it's infinitely more glorious and more mysterious. But the same God does it. Same God does it. Same God. Life in that seed. Life in that seed. All right, now verse 47 through 52. Look down there. He says, those who believe in Christ shall be raised from the dead in the image of Christ. Now watch these next verses. The first man, Adam, is of the earth earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, We're made in the image of Adam. Flesh, sin, corruption, decay, fear, guilt, all these things. But we shall bear the image someday of the heavenly. As we're born the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now take time sometime, if you will, to study the appearances of our Lord after the resurrection. After our Lord arose from the tomb, he appeared to his disciples. And if you listen to his words and observe him and read carefully in Luke chapter 24, you will find, first of all, they knew him. People say, well, will we know each other in heaven? Well, of course. Of course. We'll be who we are. Our Lord Jesus Christ was buried and rose again, and he was the same Jesus that was crucified. They knew him. They talked to him. They called him their master. They talked to him. He talked to them. They touched him. He said, reach out and touch my hand. Well, they thought they'd seen a ghost. They'd never seen a dead man talk to them before. And they thought they'd seen a ghost. And he said, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see me have. Touch me. He ate with them. He ascended to heaven in the same body. And he said, the Bible says, this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you see him go. And that's what our bodies will be like Christ. We shall be perfectly conformed to his image. We'll be, as we're born the image of the earthy, the first man, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. And then verse 50, this know, that this flesh and blood, as we know it, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh and blood can't survive in the kingdom of God, in the glory of it, in the beauty of it, in the holiness of it. So this flesh, a dwelling place of evil, has got to be changed. And that's what the change is. When we bear this old flesh, bear it in corruption, raised in incorruption. Bear it in shame, raised in honor. Bear it in weakness, raised in power. Bear it a fleshly, natural body, and raised with the moisture of holiness, and the moisture of everlasting life, and the moisture of righteousness, and the life of God that can never die. Never, never die. And he said, what if I'm living when Christ comes? Well, he said, even those who are alive shall be changed. He said, I'll show you a mystery. Look down at verse 51 or 52. I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump of sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we shall all be changed. Changed from corruption to incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. And when that takes place, Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now watch, there's the key verse, verse 57. Thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory over sin, the victory over death, and the victory over the grave. Thanks be unto God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our righteousness, he is our sin offering, he is our life, and he is our resurrection. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also.